Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Gimel. Let me just get my clock up here so I won't keep you too long. And we were talking about the order. So if you recall, let us, you know what? I'm not even going to do that. I'm going to do something else if you don't mind. I think it would be worthwhile as a hachana for today's Gemara to complete the Mishnah, because the way that our Mishnah is Mechulak, it was split into two parts, just for convenience's sake, in terms of following the Gemara. But the second part of the Mishnah is on Daf Yud Gimel. And in order to understand today's Sugya, it's going to be necessary anyway to understand what it's referring to by reading that Mishnah. So why don't we just run over to Daf Yud Gimel for a moment, and that way we can actually learn the Mishnah inside. So it says like this on Daf Yud Gimel. Sheish Ayir Zaka Hela Commissioner Rich.
I mean, it's a little out of time and place. I haven't prepared for it.
Zaka Hela Commissioner. Remember, you didn't get an opportunity to introduce the Mishnah other than as the Seder. So now you've given it its own special cover. All right, so the Mishnah continues on Daf Yud Gimel. We had 15 Nashim that we said in the opening part of the Mishnah, the Reisha. Now the Seifa says, but note that there are another six Arayot, Sheish Arayot, which in a way are more problematic for Yibum. They're not really Chamurot, Mi'elu, in terms of the Halacha of the Chumrah. The Chumrah is that they can only marry other people and they cannot marry any of your brothers. So since they cannot marry any of your brothers, they will never fall to Yibum. And if that's the case, they will not aser the tzara. So the end of the Mishnah is coming to make it very, very clear that the concept of a tzaras erva is something that results from the fact that there's no mitzvah of Yibum. It is not a positive thing. In other words, it's not as if some person, a stranger, is married to your daughter plus another woman, let's say, right? And that stranger then dies. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have to be a stranger. He can be your son-in-law who's married to your daughter, and he's married to another woman at the same time. When he dies, that other woman is not a tzara to you, even though she was the tzara of your daughter. And that was like to your son-in-law. I mean, it sounds weird, doesn't it? But no, because the issur of the daughter doesn't sort of spread. There's nothing of an erva spreading. The point over here is that there's no chiyuv of yibum. Once there's no chiyuv of yibum, then what happens? We're left with the issur of eishes ach. Fine. But the issur of eishes ach obviously doesn't apply to your son-in-law. And therefore, what's the problem of marrying the other woman, you see? So in a sense, they're more chomer because they can never end up as falling to you for yibum. On the other hand, because of the fact that they can't end up falling to you for yibum, they're more kal because they can never aser et tzara by definition. And that is such a beautiful way to bring out the interrelationship of the concept of the tzara with the nature of yibum. We're going to see much more about this today because it turns out to be fundamental in understanding the structure of the Masechet and the structure of the Pesukim and so many other things conceptually about the entire mitzvah. So sheish arayot chamurot mi'elum, because by definition, they can only be married to other people and not to your brothers. Tzorotehem mutarot. They will never aser et tzara. What are these cases? These are cases where the very fact that they have a particular relationship to you means that none of your brothers from your father can marry. So let's say your mother. Wait a minute, what do you mean my mother? Okay, I could have a brother that's not related to my mother at all, right? I mean, he's my brother from my father. I have a mother that is my mother, but then what does that have to do with the brother that's from my father? So the issue over here is that if I am talking about a brother that has to be from my father, because there's no other din of yibum, So I have a brother from my father, and I have a mother, but I must be related to that brother also, otherwise it wouldn't be human. So I have a brother from my father, from a different mother, right? Can that brother marry my mother? Well, of course not. She's married to your father. No, she's not. My father had a one-night stand somewhere, and, we managed to trace, you know, that it was from him, you know, a DNA test, whatever, you know, but we found that out much later. So is there an iser on that brother to marry my mother? Because that's what the Mishnah is saying. There's an iser. And as we mentioned yesterday, there is an iser, but it's a machlokas. Because only Alibi de Rabbi Shimon do we say that a woman impregnated by your father is going to be usher on all of these other brothers, because otherwise, according to the Chachamim, it's none of their business. I mean, it's basically not a relationship of Ishus in the Torah, only ushered Eshet Aviv, not Anusat Aviv, and so on. So therefore, the Mishnah over here is clearly only going Aliba, the Rabbi Shimon, who says that even Anusat Avicha is usher on you. So therefore, my mother can never fall to any of my brothers, no matter what it is that my mother is. As a matter of fact, even if I'm a mamzer, it would be exactly the same. My mother could have been married to another guy, and she would still be. This, the din of Yibam does not take the question of the legitimacy of the relationship into account at all, so that a brother who is a mamzer would nonetheless still have all of the same chiyuvim to the other brothers. And you would think, I mean, my God, this is somebody else's wife. How could it be included in Eshet Avicha? It's not. It's Anusat Avicha. Fine. So Imo is one of the cases. Eshet Aviv, obviously, is another case. Achot Aviv, well, I mean, if it's my father and I'm sharing that father with my brothers, then his sister is one of the Arayas to all of my brothers. My sister from my father is going to be their sister from their father by definition. So they can't marry her either. My auntie, who is Eshet Achi Aviv, is also their Eshet Achi Aviv. So she can't marry any of my brothers. Eshet Achiv Mi Aviv. And then the last one is wherever I would have an Eshet Achiv Mi Aviv, so there would never, ever be any kind of possibility for any of the brothers to marry that woman. So because of this, they are Badafka, even if they're not currently married. But the, once there was that Eshes Achitz, she's Asura on all of the brothers. Once we learned these, which we need to know for today, let's just finish the Mishnah, because the Mishnah clarifies to us that what we take for granted as being a fundamental element of Yibum is unbelievably a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai actually are matirin hatzarot lachim. They say there is no such thing as a tzaras erva. They don't hold a vlitzror. And according to that, of course, this creates tremendous problems, because then how can they even intermarry into each other's families, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? Because that would mean that the people that Beit Shammai are accepting are actually Isser Erva, would create Mamzerut. So like, whoa, this is a big machlokas. Ubeis Hillel Osrim. And for that matter, if the brothers were chaylates, they gave chalitza to the tzorot, so then Beit Shammai would say that that is a real chalitza. And because they were really chayavot, and therefore, they would be pasul min hakahuna, because the tzarot were really shayach to the mitzvah of chalitza. Beis Hillel says, what are you giving chalitza for? That's a joke. Well, you like being spit in your face? What's going on over here? So therefore, a kohen would be allowed to marry that woman. She's not considered to be psula because of chalitza if the brother dies. And therefore, Beit Shammai would hold its pasul min hakahuna. And Beit Hillel would say, that's not chalitza. They would be machshir into the kuhuna. It's like somebody walked over to her and she spit in his face. It's going to be osur. If somebody's not related, gives chalitza. Now, if the tzorot were nityabmu to one of the brothers, so then Beit Shammai says, fine, then that is perfectly kosher. Machshirin, if the brother dies, so she's a kosher woman. She never had a bia asura, and she can marry a kohen. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, she can never marry a kohen, because she had relations with a person that was asur to her. And because of that, she becomes a zona, and she now is asur lekuhuna. But you should know that afal pisha elo osrin the elo matirin. Barney, I know you want to give a lechayim for Zayin Adar and so on. Why don't we wait a little bit till after the Mishnah? So afal pi she elo osrin the elo matirin elo poslin the elo machshirim. You should know that despite all of these machlokas that would make a woman kosher for kuhner, posel for the kuhner, mutter to marry, and so on. Lo nimnu beit shamay milisan hashim mibeit hillel velo beit hillel mibeit shamay. They were never choshesh that, according to them, beit shamay should say, listen, I don't know, this woman may be actually a tzaras erva, and therefore she's chayeves b'yibum, and these crazies from beit hillel, they don't say she's chayeves b'yibum, and if I marry her, I'm going to be over on the iser of lotia isha sameish li'izar, and you can't marry into these people's family, God help us. You know, you never know what you're bumping into over there. Or Beit Hillel, they didn't stop marrying into Beit Shammai. And they didn't say that, you know what, maybe these are children of Tzoras that got Yibum, and therefore they're Mamzerim, because this was an Issacharis. And these crazies from Beit Shammai, they said that you're supposed to sleep with an Issacharis, and that creates Mamzerim that spread through the family. We can't marry into them. But no, they never ever had any problems with one each other. And in fact, kol ha-ta'arot va-tum'ot shayu elu mita'arin ve-elu mita'im, they were never, ever had any problem. Lo nimnu'u osim ta'arot elu agabe elu, because each one so respected the other one's opinion about what they held the correct thing was, that they would always keep records and trace what the din would be of this woman, Alib de Beit Hillel, if Beit Hillel wanted to marry, and so on. They never said, ha, 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 let him marry. What do they know? And who cares? We're giving them the best of the best. And they say a mamzer, fair. Anyway, so they didn't do that. They would say, listen, this woman is a mamzer, as far as your shita is concerned, so don't marry her. Or this is tummy, according to your shita, so you're not allowed to use it, and so on and so forth. So we'll see as the Gemara explains that it was ha'emet v'ha'shalom ha'hevu, which of course relates to divrei shalom ve'emet, as we're getting closer to, and that becomes the way that they relate to each other so beautifully. Anyway, so it's perfectly timed for at least Zayin Ba'adar. Okay, anyway, so getting back now.
Oh no.
L'chaim, l'chaim, Barnea. L'chaim for Rochel bat Zara. Okay, so now I want to start with you once again at the Gemara after this Mishnah, so that we can get the full focus of the order in the Mishnah. I hope that you did during your sleep. You had dreams about the Chamesh Esrei Nashim, and you put it into order, in which it's now all like mamash automatic, I'm assuming, instead of counting sheep. Why not count Chamesh Esrei Nashim? You'd be amazed at how effective it is in putting you to sleep. You can ask Richie. He has this experience every morning. So anyway, we start with the Gemara once again. So the logical order of the Mishnah is question. The Gemara hasn't figured this out yet, so to speak, because in doing this analysis, it's going to bring us face to face with many of the dinim of Arias. Now, gentlemen, you really should be asking yourself, why in the world would we start the Masechet instead of with the mitzvah of Yibum? Why would we start the Masechet with all this craziness? I mean, that's like a, you know, a side point. Here's the mitzvah of Yibum. Here's the mitzvah of Chalitza. What happens if the woman who falls to Yibum is an Erva? Fine, in Perek Hamishi, you know, we'll discuss those issues. But meanwhile, we'll talk about what kind of shoes and what kind of brothers and all the other issues that are. So instead, we leave all the important issues to later. We don't even know what Yibum is. We don't even know what Chalitza is, but we ought to know all about these 15 women and then about the other six women and Tzoras and so on. I mean, what a crazy way to organize the Masechet. So what we need to understand is that not only is it not a crazy way to organize the Masechet, it is a brilliant way to organize the Masechet, because this is something that Marashah points out, not in context of what we're bringing in here, but in the Chagiga. So in Chagiga, we talked about Ein Dorshin Ba'arayot, and that was, in a sense, an introduction to Yevamos. So as the Marsha points out, the real problem, and I mentioned this to you in Chagiga, the real problem of the drasha in Arayos is the fact that the Torah was Matir Yibo. Now, the heter of Yibo makes it clear that our relationship to Arayos is completely screwy. Because again, we relate to Arayos as some kind of taboo. But that has nothing to do with the way the Torah relates to Arayos. The inyan of the Arayos, as we see from the mitzvah of Yibo, is nogea, the concept of finding the person's place in the history of the Olam, and therefore relates specifically to the dinim of Yerusha, and specifically to Eshet Ta'ach, as opposed to Eshet Ha'em, and so on. And that's why the Gemara has to speak of it in terms of Nemru B'dibur Echad. So the Isser of Erva and the mitzvah of Yibam came at the same moment, so to speak, Masha'ena Ozen Yochol Lishma, and so on. But that is the depth of the relationship of Yibum to Erva. Now, you'll notice that where the entire Hatzolah of the Inyan of Mashiach, which comes, as we know, from two Maisa Yibum, from Lot and his sisters on one hand, as the Rishonim point out, that belief that there was no one around to impregnate them was a
din. Others.
Sorry?
Lot and his daughters. Rebbe meant.
What did I say? I'm sorry. All right. So whatever I said. So Lot and his daughters. So because of that, that was a mitzvah of Yibum. So as the Ramban explains, many Rishonim explain, what does that have to do with Yibum? I thought Yibum was about brothers. No. Yibum was about every Erva. It's just that the Torah was mamayit this after Matan Torah, that because it became more and more difficult to handle the Inyan of Arayos and so on, that's part of the Ein Dorshin. So the Torah limited it to the case of the brother. But the fact is that it was any erva that was hutar al yedei Yibam. And there was a mitzvah for Yibam. So because of that, Lot took these daughters. He didn't know what he was doing, so to speak, but the daughters did. And what they were doing was considered to be a mitzvah of such a madrega that the difference in who had the first night and who had the second night was koveya deres of Malchus B'Yisrael, and so on, as the Medrash points out. That then we had the other tzad of the relationship of Yibum. Again, the interrelationship that had a multiple face of that Yibum, that the child became a child to a different woman, the same way that it became, that is to say, to Naomi instead of Ruth, in the same way that it became a child that took the place of the missing husband, that was vis-a-vis Ruth's husband. So then that means that we were dealing with all types of multiple issues of finding a place. And that's exactly, everybody was so sensitive. The beauty of the Pasuk in Rus, where the entire town gets together and Likareshe Mames, Alshem Nachalosa. I mean, it's unbelievable the level of awareness and mutual care and joy in seeing things come together. And at that moment, becoming aware of the history to such an extent that even in Beit Lechem, they ended up recognizing the primacy of B'nei Rachel over Leah in terms of the relationship to Yaakov Avinu and the coming of Mashiach. This is Beit Lechem. These are amazing things that were literally the psychological and fundamental response at a primal level of people that were in touch with what it means to have this getter of Yerusha and that whole discussion, you know, Omnam Yesh Goel Karov Bimeni, and the whole thing is in terms of Geula, literally Goel. That's unbelievable. You know, so we have to sit there explaining to people this is what it's Nogea, and that's what it's Nogea. So because of that, remember the entire story is built around relationships that are Erva-oriented relationships from beginning to end. This includes Eshes Ish with David and Bathsheba. Everybody is like, what the heck? Why is everything so sexually warped when it comes to the coming of the Malchus? And then we had all of these homosexual relationships in terms of, I don't mean sexual, but, you know, in the English term, but the idea of Ruth and the Ami being a specific love affair, or David and Yonatan being a specific love affair, which we hold up as the love affairs of history. This is not small issues. And all of that is fundamentally defined by David, who is the lover, that's his name, the nature of David. That means that the interrelationship that leads to Erva on the one hand and leads to the mitzvah of Yibam on the other hand is exceedingly intertwined. and is part of the yesod of the relationship to Erva, and the drosha of Arayas. That's how the Marsha understands the whole sugya. In which case, of course, when we open up on this level, the simplest understanding of it is that Yibum and Erva are deeply related. It's not that Erva is a problem that shows up. What happens if the... Don't you understand? It's not a question of what happens. Every Yibum is showing up as an Erva that needs to be dealt with and taken in, right? So of course the Arayas are going to come right at the beginning. So therefore we have this description of 21 different relationships, all of the relationships that are mentioned in the Torah, in Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim, and they define the Mishnah. That's why I felt it was important for us to see the Mishnah and Daf Yud Gimel, which is not a different Mishnah. It's the Siyum of this Mishnah. So now the Gemara, therefore, uses this as an excuse to examine the overall perspective that we're talking about over here, to wonder about the structure. And in doing so, meanwhile, it brings you into touch with the way in which sanguinity is a question, and in which the direction of Kirava is a question, and in which the other elements of the Chumrah of the Erva, in terms of the Onesh, how does the Onesh relate to the Erva? And then, of course, we have these unique cases in which an Erva is not permanent. Oh, that's weird. Where is an erva not permanent? Well, there's a real erva that's not permanent, which is achot ishto. And there, as long as the woman is alive, achot that ishto, then the achot will be asura. But somehow the achot becomes muteret afterwards. Does that remind you maybe of the idea of yibum? The eshet achiv, which seems to be the same thing as mirror image, the Achot Ishto and the Eshet Achiv, right? So the Eshet Achiv is the only other case where after the death of the brother, the wife becomes Muteret. Now that can't be a coincidence, can it? And as it turns out, incredibly, the entire basis of the dinim of the Mishnah come from Achot Ishto. So we want to know that also, and not coincidentally. That's where the place that the word sarot appears, litzrar. Oh my God. So that means that the two specific cases that relate to our mesechet are eshet achiv and achot ishto. Wow. Okay, so therefore the Gemara asks, mirdei. Kulu me'achot isha yafin. If we're going to learn everything out of achot isha, which we're going to see why. I mean, yes, again, the cold, you know, dry cut understanding of this has nothing to do. I'm telling you, people learn this specifically. I don't think there's one that understands what's going on and that these are literally the same issue. But fine. Okay. So in terms of the dry question, you know, it turns out that we have a Gzera Shofan, we have a Hekesh, we have the same word of Litzrar. Okay, so because of that, we learn them out, and everybody wonders, why the heck do we learn them out of Achot Isha? Okay, but we end up learning them out of Achot Isha. So why doesn't Achot Isha come first? That should be the Makor in the Mishnah, right? So listen to Achot Isha Beresha. V'chi Tema, maybe you'll try to tell me that the Mishnah is organized in terms of what is more chamur. And therefore, since the most chamur, if you hold that Sreifa is the worst of all of the mitot beit din, so then if we start with the issues of generations down, daughters, or wife's daughters, or generations up, mother-in-laws, and so on, all of those are Isurei Sreifa. So maybe you'll tell me that's what's going on. That actually the Tana wants to start with the Chumrah, and apparently the Tana holds of Rabbi Shimon, which is that Sreifa is more Chamur than Skila. And where does Skila show up here? The very last one. No, that's the one about the wife of your son, Kalato. That's the only one that's Skila. Everything in between the Sreifa and the Skila is not a Chiyav of Misa at all. It's only an Isser Koris. So, I mean, that is really weird to say, to suggest that that's the way we're going to have the Mishnah organized, right? It's like it's bookcased between the Isser and Misa. So then, obviously, the first question is that if Sreifa is more Chomer, and that's why we're listing it, then why don't we list the mother-in-law? Because the only place that it says Beferish, Be'esh Yisarefu, is the Isser of Chamoto. And that should be the one that comes first. And yet it doesn't. There it says, Isha sheyikachet isha ve'et ima, zima yi, Be'esh Yisaref. So why wouldn't it start with Chamoto? Because Iker Sreifa b'Chamoto dichtiva. And besides that, what should be the next thing in order? Kalato. Instead, Kalato is pushed all the way to the end. So something's messed up over here. So, Batar Chamoto should say Kalato, because after Sreifa comes Skila. And, I mean, even if it wouldn't be directly after Sreifa, it's the only other Chiyuv Nisa at all here. So that can't be the reason. Okay, so then the reason is like this. We want to start with Bito, because how do we know that there even is an Isser of Bito? Now, which Bito are we talking about in the Mishnah? Your legitimate daughter or your illegitimate daughter? Because if it's your legitimate daughter, so then I'm using legitimate in the English sense, not in terms of mamzerus. So if it's your legitimate daughter, so then it means that you were married to the woman that you had this daughter from, right? Okay, so then anyway, she would be Asura because it says Isha Ubita. You're married to the mother, and it happened to be you impregnated the mother, but that's irrelevant because even if you hadn't, it would still be Isha Ubita, right? Fine. So that's not what we're talking about because that would be included there. If we're talking about a separate Erva, which is called Bito. Now, Bito means it's only yours. It's not your wife's daughter. That's because you weren't married to that woman. So this is, by definition, not considered to be a woman and her daughter, because over there it uses the Lashon of Ishut, the She'er Batsar, and it's talking about a marriage, but we're not talking about a marriage. So therefore, we start with Bito, because how do we even know that your daughter is Osir? That we had back in Chagiga. We know that. Remember, we said that it's, is it really Gufei Tera, or is it maybe Hararim Atluyim Besara, or is it like there's only a remez, like the Gemara says? That was referring, said the Gemara, to your daughter, who is not your wife's daughter. So, okay, so then that's a drusha. And that drusha was very important drusha, by the way, also because we learn out from there, Ein Onchin Min Hadin, Vein Mazirin Min Hadin, a lot of important sugyas come from there. So since that is a drasha, we love drashas. Because anything that you tell me straight out, that's not entirely mine. I like what's mine. So when I figured out myself, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so happy with that, when the Dishayim figured out things for themselves, when humans figure out things for themselves, they're also very happy. So we figure this out by ourselves. And therefore it comes first, because it's chaviv. We feel such a sweetness and connection to those things. So fine. But, I mean, actually, every single one of the dinim that we have over here, of these 15 women, we learned them out from a drasha from Achot Isha. So we could say, all of them are very chaviv because we figured this out ourselves. No, come on, I'm not talking about that. That's a drasha vis-a-vis the dinim of Yibum. Yes, you're right. That Nehidel Inyan Yibum, they come from a drasha, but I'm talking about the nature of the relationship is not a drasha. The nature of the relationship is a ferish apostle, an achrimos, a kedoshim, right? There's only one of these arayas that it doesn't mention anywhere in achrimos or kedoshim. And what is that? Your daughter. So, nehidalin in yibum atyun midrasha, but the ikar of the isser itself, that this is an erva, is written beferish and apostle. But the problem is, Bito, Ikar Isura Midrasha. We have no idea that the daughter is Osir. Because we know that it says Ishto and Bita Ubat Bita Ubat Bina. That it says Beferish. Ervat Isha Ubita Lo Tigalet. So the fact that it's also your daughter doesn't change anything. It's still her daughter. So that I know. But what about if it's not her daughter and it's only your daughter? We have a completely different pasuk that talks about ervat bat pincha o bat bitcha. It doesn't say anything about being married to their mother. It's your granddaughter through your daughter or your granddaughter through your son, without ever saying anything about being married. So now the question is, when it says Kervatcha Hena, is it referring to a daughter and the granddaughter through a wife? No, it's referring to your erva as your granddaughter. She says, okay, well, obviously, if my granddaughter is Asura, Koshikane, my daughter is Asura. I mean, if I'm going to include a woman who's an extra generation away, so Koshikane, if there's more of my genetic inheritance in her because she's only one generation away, so for sure she's less watered down, more share basar. And therefore, it should vadaib. Yes, but that ain't good enough. Why? Well, because ein anshin min adin and ein mazirin min adin. So the fact that you said, but it's a kal v'chomer. Well, okay. I mean, if you don't want to do it, no one will blame you. But if you want to give somebody hatra, and so the Torah said you're not allowed to sleep with that woman, she's your daughter. So I don't know. Where does it say that? So you'd have to prove it from the pasuk. How do I prove it from the pasuk? So as we had back in Chagiga, we learned it out from the fact that it says Hena in both of those cases. The Omar Rava Amali Rav Yitzchak Bar Rabbi Dimi Atya Hena Hena. So it says ki ervatcha Hena, and by Ishus in the original pasuk we're talking about Ishar B'tatzit Sha'ara Hena. So just like in the Sha'ara Hena of your wife's daughter and granddaughter are compared to each other in the pasuk, then that means I can use that Hena to tell me that your daughter and your granddaughter are compared in the same way. Now, how do I know that not only is it Osir, but we also know that there would be a Chiev of Sreifa, which we said before, all of the daughter relationships are Sreifa. How would we know that? That's because of Zima Zima. The Zima Zima was by Bito Mi Ishto. It says Zima Hi. And Zima, we know, is Sreifa because of Chamoto. Be'eshi Sreifu, it says. Zima Hi Be'eshi Sreifu. So once we've established that the Hena Hena applies, then we could take the Zima from Chamoto to the Zima of the daughter of your wife, from the Hena of the daughter of your wife to the Hena of your own daughter, and now we know everything. We know the Onesh, and we know the Azhara. There we go. So therefore, as Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi showed us, Atya Hena Hena, Atya Zima Zima. Okay, so that would explain very well why we would want to start with your daughter. Well, hold on a minute. If that's the case, that you're telling me whatever I learn out from a drasha is more chaviv, so then why doesn't Achot Isha come later? It's too close to the beginning because that's the thing that is not the drasha. And these other cases should have been said first. Yeah, but you have to understand. I mean, once I opened up talking about the Isurim that have to do with fraternal relationships, so that's Isur Achvata. So I mean, I mentioned Achot Isha. So say the whole part about fraternal relationships at the end. This doesn't make sense, okay? Why don't we just accept the fact that the Tana is giving us a very reasonable description in the structure of the Arayas by telling us everyone that is closer to you is closer to the din of Erva. That's the point. So this is in order of closeness. So therefore, we start with your direct descendants, your daughter, or your daughter's daughter, or your son's daughter. These are all directly your relatives. Now, what about the others, your wife's daughter? Well, once it discusses three generations, meaning you, next generation, and third generation, so once it has three generations coming from you at the top, it also mentions three generations coming from her. Because wherever, as we're going to see, wherever there is the male element, we add the female element through marriage immediately afterwards. Okay, so therefore we move over to her. So now you're married to a woman, her daughter, her granddaughter through a daughter, her granddaughter through a son. Okay, that's the, we have that. Now, once we talk about the three generations descending from her, since in the Torah that's presented as a mirror image of ascending, because the mother-in-law is basically a mother and her daughter, so therefore it mentions the three generations above her. Mother-in-law, father-in-law's mother, mother-in-law's mother. That's exactly the mirror image going downwards. So perfect. Now, once we started talking about these various dorot. So now we have all of the daughter relationships or mother relationships. We can't mention your mother, as we already saw, because your mother is included in the Sheish Arayot Chamurot Mi'el. Now, we move on from there to your sister or your mother's sister. Those are all your relationships. Once we're talking about sisterhood or brotherhood, so then we talk about the sister of your wife. And the truth is that at this point, it should really mention Kalato, because that's a relationship going down from you. And that should come before we start talking about the mirror image of your brother's wife, which is the same thing as your wife's sister, as we've pointed out. And that brother's wife, how would we get a brother's wife that won't fall to Yibam? Where it's a brother, Shalohaya Ba'olama. And therefore, it's a brother's wife that falls to you and is not Chayav and Yibam. Exactly. So therefore, we mentioned that case. And you'd think that we ought to mention the case of Kalato first, because Eshet Achiv Shalohaya Ba'olama is not Usher because of Kirva. All of those other cases are not because of Kirva, it's because of a specific problem. So therefore, we ought to do it first. This question over here is lo mishum kurva nisira, but since we were talking about Yisr Achva, we mention all the Yisr Achva, Eshet Achiv Shalohaya Ba'olama, and Eshet Achiv Mi'imo, and so on. V'hora Tana Kalato. Okay, that explains the order. Now, the language. Why does it say potrot? I mean, is it really a question of potrot, or is it a question of osrot, according to Beit Hillel? Wouldn't it make sense to say osrot tzorotayim? Because, I mean, once they're potter, then you're not allowed to marry the tzora. So in reality, the presence of the erva is asering the tzora, not pottering the tzora. So why don't you say it the way it is, men? No. Because if it would have said osrot, I would have said, that only means you're not allowed to do yibum, because osrot refers to the acts that are prohibited in terms of erva. So I can't sleep with her, so therefore I can't do yibum. But maybe I should do chalitza. That's why it says no, it's osrot. Okay, so then just say it's osrot to be choletz. I mean, it isn't osrot to be... It is a potrot mila chaleitz. I mean, it isn't usher, right? So you could use the word of usher and get away from this confusing language of potrot, and then you could say it's usher to do chalitza. I mean, it's usher to do chalitza. I mean, what are you doing wrong by doing chalitza? You want to get spit at, you know, if that turns you on, fine. I mean, like, I don't know, you can hire people to spit at you. Is there an isser in that? Yes, there is. Alam alo. But if you would have said you could do chalitza, so people might make the mistake of thinking that if you do chalitza, maybe you also could come to do yibum, because you saw the same case in another family where the guy did chalitza. You'll say, oh, so apparently, even though it's a tzoras erva, it still needs yibum. So you'll go ahead and do yibum. Maybe, I mean, I understand that when you read the end of the Mishnah, it becomes very clear to you that that's absurd. But lemaisa, it's better to use the language that is more accurate, no? And it should be usher to do chalitza. So why not say it? Because you see, you can't say that a erva asers at tzara. Because if you would say an erva asers at tzara, it would mean that somehow the issue of the erva moves on to the tzara. And that's not true. Because if it were true, then if she was married to someone that is not one of the people that falls to Yibam, like the case we had. You have a son-in-law who amazingly married your daughter. Well, that sometimes happens with son-in-laws. So you have a son-in-law who, besides your daughter, is married to another guy, another girl. So then the son-in-law dies. And now what happens with that other girl? Is she asura to you? No. Why should she be asura to me? He's basically a stranger. What do you mean? But she was married at the same time of your daughter. She's the ultimate sorrow. What's the matter with you? No such thing. But if you would have used the word asur, I would have thought that it really is such a thing, and that a tzara as is becomes asura because of the erva. So therefore, I cannot use that language, because it's kiva de malaka mitzvah hu the asira tzara. The only time that the tzara appears is an ancillary result to the fact that the erva took off the chiyuv of yibum. Memela, she's left with the Isser of Eshet Ach. But there's no such thing as actually being Asura. So therefore, it cannot say it. Bishamachi Tani Potrot. Okay, now let me ask you something. Why do I need to mention Potrot Mina Chalitza U Mina Hayibum? It could just say Mina Hayibum alone. Because Itana Mina Yibum Hava Mina Michlat Chotza Yibum Elo Miyabma. I would have thought that it's only a Ptur from Yibum. But maybe there still is a din of Chalitza. Therefore, we need to learn once and for all. These two dinim are totally interrelated. That kol ha'ola le'yibum, ola le'chalitza, v'chol she'eno ola le'yibum, eno ola le'chalitza. So then, if that's the case, I understand how important that is, yes, but then there's also an alternative. Because then what we can say is, if that's the case, lisne mina yibum u'mina chalitza, because that way it would be very clear from both Yibum and Chalitza in that order, or Mina Chalitza. We don't even have to mention the Yibum, right? Inami Mina Chalitza. And then I would, oh, okay, she doesn't need anything. She doesn't need Chalitza. No, because it's coming to teach us Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul, the Omer Mitzvat Chalitza Kodemet Mitzvat Yibum. You're saying it should say Mina Yibum first, because after all, it says if he doesn't want to marry her, so then the Altayavim Tashara and so on. But since Abba Shaul says later on that as far as I'm concerned, somebody who takes his Yavama and he is not entirely L'Shem Shamayim, he thinks, wow, she's beautiful, always wanted to get a chance at her, or something like that. Karov Be'inai Avlad Liot Mamzer. Now, Abba Shaul is a very profound expression of the very issue that we talked about before. Because what he's saying is that Yibum is Erva. And therefore, if that is your focus, then the child is essentially a mamzer, even if he isn't given the din of being a mamzer. But it's Karov Beinai Liot Mamzer. So therefore, according to Abba Shaul, I don't know who the heck you are, and that you can engage in Yibum without any thoughts of having fun. And therefore, I suggest go ahead and do Chalitza, which is the way that we do it today, other than in places where you cannot do Chalitza because something is wrong with her mind or whatever. But basically, we only utilize Chalitza instead of Yibum. So in order to make that very clear, this is our Mishnah. We say mitzvah chalitza kodemet le mitzvah yibum, and therefore we put it in that order. Mina chalitza, mina yibum. So now we've established the order of the Mishnah, the order of the iser, the use of the words potrot instead of osrot. Now, we still have to explain why the Mishnah needed to count. I mean, I do know enough to count myself. So why are you saying 15? Well, remember that we have a klal. Wherever we have a count, it's because of the fact that it wants to tell us this and not others. So therefore, if you're telling me 15, you're saying, I know you're thinking about other cases, but it's not true. There's only 15. So which cases are you coming to make sure that I don't mistake? And I understand that there's only 15 cases. There's got to be extra cases. What are they? And then the crazy thing is, at the end of the Mishnah, it does the same thing. It mentions again. It says, Hare Elu Potrot. But that's repetitive again. I understand. Hare Elu, only these are Potrot. What do I need to say that for? I don't understand. Two times you need to bang it into my head that there's 15 women and it's only Elu, these 15 women that are Potrot. That's coming to tell me some additional point that I should be very careful to know is not meant to be included in the Mishnah. So what are those minimally two things that I need to know are not included in the Mishnah? Ah, that is coming to exclude two additional cases, which one of which is according to Rav, and one of which is according to Rav Asi. And later on, we're going to see about that. Rav says that in the event that the wife of the brother, the deceased brother, was Asura on the brother, how could she become Asura on the brother and still be a wife that would fall to Yibum? What happened is that she became a Sota. So in the event that his wife was Mizana and became Asura on him, but he's still married to her, he hasn't yet divorced her, and he has another wife who is a Tsura to the Saita, and we'll see where Rav gets this from, that in that case, both of them are Peturot min hayibum. And Rav Ashi's case is that if his wife turns out to be sterile and he has another wife, then both of them, if he dies without children, both the Ilanit and the other wife are Potter min hayibum. The Mishnah comes to say, absolutely, no way, only 15 women are able to Potter their Tzara from Yibum. So it's coming to tell me that Rav and Rav Ashi are wrong. Well, obviously, Rav and Rav Ashi don't think that they're wrong. So how did they read the Mishnah? What were the two cases that the Mishnah was coming to say, don't make the mistake of including it? Well, if Isvir Luhudadav, if Rav and Rav Ashi both hold of each other's approach, so then they need to find, each needs to find two other things, okay? So then Isvir Luhudadav, then one list of numbers is Lima'ute Tzarat Mima Enet. So over there, if the deceased brother was married to an erva who was a yitoma kitanat, we've already explained in the Mishnah, and he has another wife, and he dies. And now the yitoma kitana is mima'enet on the yavam. And otherwise, she wouldn't have been asura. She's not asura to this yavam. The din is that both she and the other wife are not allowed to get married to the Yavam. So even though the halacha over there is a gezera derabbanan, because as we're going to see later on, it's a complex gezera because we're worried about a case where she is an erva, mima enet, that you'll end up taking the tzara, which is a gezera. So therefore, since it's only a nisr derabbanan, in that case, you must do chalitza. Because Midiraisa, she is a kukalot. And therefore, the Mishnah is coming to tell me that over there, she doesn't pater from the chalitza. So therefore, make certain that you understand. The other case is a marzir grushato. So your brother divorced his wife. She went and got married to somebody else. The other person died or divorced her. And now your brother went and remarried her, which is absolutely prohibited, right? The idea over there is that acharei asher hu tam'a, it's usher to remarry if she had slept with others. So over there, it's coming to tell me that even though she is asura on him, that nonetheless, that is still going to require, that is, we'll see where we get that from, it's not a deraisa tapata from chalitza. So therefore, it's coming for that. Now, suppose they don't hold up each other. So then fine, one would be coming to bemayit the others, meaning Rav to Rav Ashi or Rav Ashi to Rav, and one is coming either to teach Tzaras Mema'enes or Tzaras Machzir Grushato. But wait a minute, according to Rav and Rav Ashi, there are actually two additional cases, right? Because they say that the Tzaras Soita and the Tzaras Islandis actually do pater the tzara. Why does the Mishnah say only 15 women pater the tzara? Then it should be 17 women pater the tzara. And that's why the Mishnah actually uses the word 15 women. And it doesn't say 15 arayot. Because at the end of the Mishnah, it says shesh arayot chamurot me'elu. Why the change? Because the miut of the 15 women is coming to address women who are not arayot. And that is these cases, Tzara Seita, or this case of Tzara Mema'enes, or Ma'asur Grushato. That's why we have to use the word women. Because otherwise we wouldn't say 15 women and no other women. We would say 15 Erevas and no other Erevas. What does this have to do with no other Erevas? Tzara Seita and so on. Tzara Islandis, you see? So it's beautifully miduyak in the Mishnah. But in any event, there should be 17 women that pater the tzaras, according to Rav and Rav Ashi, assuming that they hold of each other, at least 16, which would mean that ultimately, if you don't hold of Rabbi Shimon, you could actually get to yet another one, 18. You have Rav, Rav Ashi, plus your mother, because if you hold like the Chachamim, then the Anusat Avicha can be married by your brother, so your mother could fall to you. So in any event, why not actually include them? So lisnino. There's a very simple reason. Because what it says is that these 15 women pater their tzoras and the tzara of their tzara. Now, the tzara over here is that there can't be the tzara of a tzara, because since the basis of the problem is not the relationship to you versus the other brothers, it's the problem of their relationship to their own husband, that is going to be, of course, a problem for any of the brothers. But in order to get a tzara's tzara, one of the other brothers has to do yibum, whether they couldn't have done that, because we also on all of them, you see? So therefore, we can't say 15 women are potrot tzorotayim, vitzorot tzorotayim, but really 17 women, because they aren't. That explains it. Lefisha ena bitzorat tzora. Now, where do we get this whole idea from? That there is a halacha that yibum does not apply to an erva. Minonimile. The Tana Rabbanan, Isha lachota lo tikach litzror legalot ervata aleha bechayeha. So what is it? It's a weird pasuk. I mean, I understand that you want to tell me this is an odd erva because it's only while she's alive, right? So don't be tzorer your wife with another woman from her family, which is a real tsar. She's going to have her sister in the same house and start being jealous. Like maybe you're paying more attention. I mean, it's a disaster. So don't do that to her in her lifetime. Well, fine. So just say, don't do that in her lifetime. What do you mean? Aleha. Obviously, if you're going to be marrying her sister, it's going to be aleha. So, I mean, the focus on the aleha seems to be absurd. You could have just said, Bechaya, aleha, matamid lomar. Oh, lefishanemar yevamayavo aleha. So you might have thought that Yivama Yavo Aleha means even if she is an erva, because after all, aseh darchel lo taaseh, right? So even if your daughter falls to you, mikol arayot amurot batorah katuv medaber. Therefore, it's coming to tell me, no, you see, it says lo tikach aleha, even where there's a mitzvah of aleha, b'makom mitzvah lo tikach. That's the pshat. So ne'mar kan by yibum aleha v'ne'mar lalon aleha. So just like, I mean, the lahalan is the mitzvah, sorry. Ma lahalan b'makom mitzvah yibum. Therefore, when it says lo tikach aleha, it means even where there is a mitzvah yibum, omer achmana lo tikach. Now, that would mean only her. How do I know that I cannot marry any of the women that are married to the deceased brother together with her at the time that they fall? Talmud lomar litzror. Now, this part, Ein li'ela tzarata, tzarat, tzarata, minayin, is really not the correct girsa. And this comes from the discussion later on in the Gemara. I would prefer to skip it, but we'll mention it anyway. Ein li'ela tzarata, how do I know tzarat, tzarata, Talmud Omar l'tzror. Instead of saying l'tzur, l'tzror means even multiple. But wait, this is a special case, is it not? This is achot isha. Is that the same for any other erva minayin? Yes, look, I mean, there's a concept called a mametzinu, right? So mametzinu, achot isha. What's unique about achot isha? Well, it's an erva, it's a chiyuv kares, it's b'chayiv yuachatas, and nonetheless, the Torah specifically said you cannot do yibum, so any similar case. Koshi erva, chayav en azon hakares, ashigat hachatat, asur leyaveng. But maybe that's only her. How do we know that sorot are also asr? Eni alahein sorot eheminayin. Well, it's the same mametzino. Ma chotisham yuchedet shi'erva v'chayav in azdona karet v'al shigat tarchatat. And it's also to be miyavim her. And because of that, her tzora is asura. And this is the reason that the Chachomim said, "15 nashim potrot tzorotehem v'tzorot tzorotehem min hachalitza min hayibum ad sof olam." Now you might think that would be true even in the Shesh Arayot Chamurot Me'elu, who do not fall to you for yibum, but you might think that the very fact that they were married to a perfect stranger, at the same time that perfect stranger was married to your mother, he was also married to Kathy, and you might think that Kathy becomes usher because she shared a relationship through a man with your mother. No, that doesn't follow. Because Amit Ma Achot Ishto Miuchet, this is why we had to read the Shesh Arayot Chumurot Be'el, right? So therefore, Ma Achot Ishto, and one additional point, she could theoretically marry any of your brothers and faltier for Yibum, Efshelinasilachim, and she is Asura to the Yavah, Meretzora is Asura, of course she Arva, the Chayavanaz Donakaret Vashigachatat, and she can fall to you for Yibum because she's Efshir, Linasilachim. So therefore, the entire thing is an outgrowth of that. So since it's Asura Liyabim, Sarata Asurot, which of course excludes the Sheish Arayot Chamurot Mielu because they're married to strangers. And hold the Ef Shalina Sila Achehem, Sorotehem Mutarot, which teaches us, Ein Sara Ela Miach. And how do I know that there's also a Chiv on these? Maybe it's only an Isra Lav? Azara Shamanu, how do we know that there's an Isser of Kores? Omar Kro, Kikola Shayasemi Kola Toevota Elu, which includes Litzror. There you go. So now we understand the entire Sugya. Yes and no. Because why the heck do I need a pasuk to tell me that you're Chai of Kores? Obviously, you're Chai of Kores. If there's no Mitzvah of Yibam, so you're left with the original Chai of Kores that there was before. I mean, why would you not be Chai of Kores? To be discussed.